If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
This is Leonard Fournette, and you listen to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, citizens of the universe, this is Roster Watch. And that was my iPhone beeping. My name is Alex Dunlap. I'm joined by the Trash Man. The Trash Man, it's been a busy weekend around here. I've been getting up our initial strength of schedule tools for the running backs and the wide receivers. Today we're going to talk about wide receiver strength of schedule, though. And when we talk about strength of schedule, a lot of people will just talk about the teams that the player is going to face over the course of the season and just look at their fantasy points allowed from last season. As you and I know very well, that's a process that's going to lead you to a lot of heartache and something that's not going to work very well from season to season. So what we do at Roster Watch is over the last 15 years, we've developed a system by which we go through and we look at the personnel. We look at the implied team totals. We look at the game environments. We look at the projected volume of opponents play. We look at opponent implied team totals, win totals, all the rest of this stuff, along with, coaching changes, the coordinator man coverage versus zone coverage splits, fantasy points per drop back allowed versus those splits, et cetera, to get the strength of schedule where we can lay it all out through the course of the season and give you a visual tool to show you where in the season we're projecting. And look, some are going to be – a lot are going to be right. Some are going to be wrong. But where we are projecting these players to face their toughest matchups and where they're projected to play their easiest matchups, right? And what we do is we just come up with a cumulative number at the very end to say, okay, this is an overall positive strength of schedule or an overall negative strength of schedule. It's available to our pro members at rosterwatch.com. We'll get quarterback and tight end up before I get out of here for a quick little vacation over the 4th of July holiday. Trash Man, anything from this thing stand out to you when you first got a look at it today when I sent it over?
Well, the first thing and perhaps the worst thing for me, as a Cowboys homer, is Dallas's kind of brutal second half stretch. I think it's the worst. I mean, in the league, if we're just going from after their bye week in week 10, it's kind of bookended by some mediocre matchups in Las Vegas and the Chargers. But in between that, it's just like a gauntlet of tough defenses. I mean, they get some reprieve in week 17 against Washington, but really all up until that point, after
Washington's actually showing up is not a very good matchup this year. Yeah. I think it's because Cody and I talked about Washington. We talked about is Marshawn Lattimore cooked? We're assuming that Lattimore's not cooked.
Okay.
So it's actually showing up as a kind of tough matchup right now.
Well, in that case, then, you know, all of their matchups after their week 10 bye are against formidable or more formidable secondaries. So that's something definitely consider, considering that Dallas's first half is pretty cherry.
Yeah. I think that with Dallas, another thing that I've noticed on here is that Dallas, if you look at the tool for running backs as well, Dallas itself, I don't think they're going to be a very good defense this year, Trash Man. I think they're going to be a defense that gives up fantasy points. I think we're going to see shootouts with those guys. I think that the way this sets up, it's a bottom, you know, or for us, a top eight matchup for opposing wide receivers, a top 12 matchup for opposing running backs. So I think that there's a shot that even though they're facing these matchups that are tough, and even though we've tried to control for the idea that, you know, this is going to be a team in situations where they're going to be in back and forth situations, right? That's already kind of baked in to the strength of schedule, but maybe not to the degree with Dallas that we would with other ones, because Dallas, I think, looks like they're going to have a bad defense. So if that's the case, they're going to obviously that'll change game scripts and games to where you figure Dak's going to be having to get the ball out to CeeDee Lamb and Pickens and all the rest of them. In those types of situations, right? Just a kind of tit for tat, back and forth type of game. And especially like you mentioned Washington earlier, right? Even though it seems like it's going to be a tough matchup for opposing wide receivers, doesn't that just seem like a game environment with like a baller like Jaden Daniels and good wide receivers that he has?
I mean, generally speaking, yes.
So I guess I'm not as concerned about it, but yeah, it Dallas does not look very good on paper as far as that's concerned. The first takeaway that I had was about just Marvin Harrison Jr. So whenever I looked at this, so the Arizona Cardinals are showing up in our rankings here as the fourth easiest strength of schedule for opposing wide receivers. And why it makes me interested in Marvin Harrison Jr. is because, for one, the schedule, right? For two, just the game environments. If you look at the game environments, they have what we have ranked as our best game environment slate on the whole out of all 32 teams. They have 1, 2, 3, 4 games that are outdoor games. Now, two of those will be late season outdoor games, but one of them is week 13 at Tampa Bay. And we know that late season outdoor is not the same at Tampa Bay as it is in Cleveland or something. Right. But only four games out of a dome. Are you kidding? Like that sounds terrific to me. So if it's the best on the game environment and dome game matrix that we have up for our pro members at rosterwatch.com, and it's the fourth best strength of schedule, and you consider the fact that, yes, I understand that Trey McBride is there, but they haven't done anything to address the wide receiver position. And I think that Michael Wilson has shown that he's fine enough to be a decent NFL player, but not anybody was going to knock off too much target volume for fantasy. And I wonder for you, if you're looking at Marv, it feels like a tough click a little bit, because he wasn't that good last year, but he wasn't bad last year. What do you have? Eight touchdowns, second on the team in catches.
He had over, I think just over 800 yards. If I'm thinking correctly,
the sports books have him. I think you're right. I think it was 800 something, eight touchdowns. And I'm pretty sure second on the team in receptions. I feel like the environment, I feel like there has to be some kind of mandate in that building to say, like, look, man, we spent an unbelievably high pick on this player. We need to feed him. You know, we need to get him more involved. We need to get him going. And if you remember last year, we were taking Marvin Harrison Jr. at what? He was being taken like pick like 15 overall and stuff.
Too early.
You know, and we said at the time, this is a risky pick. Now you're looking at Marvin Harrison Jr. as a fourth round pick. I mean, on ESPN right now, he's going at the 4-5 turn. So if you can get him in the fourth round this year, a true number one wide receiver with the fourth best strength of schedule, only four games outside of domes, are you still goosey about him, or like are you in on him? Like, where are you on Marvin Harrison?
I mean, if I can get him in the fourth or fifth round, I'm not avoiding him there. I just, for me, he's not, I'm not taking him as my number one receiver in any format.
What about where he's going on FFBC and Underdog at like 26, 27?
Well, who's going around him there?
Super early third. So who's going on FFPC specifically?
Yeah.
Let me just sort by FFPC. So he's going around, he's going ahead of T. Higgins, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, Tyreek Hill, Rashee Rice, and just after Garrett Wilson, A.J. Brown, Ladd McConkey.
Not taking him ahead of JSN, especially with Seattle's schedule. Seattle has a better schedule than Arizona, technically.
Yeah, that's a true point. And yeah, so Seattle's the third best. Yeah, I can't take. I mean, I wasn't taking Marvin Harrison over JSN anyway. But when I make adjustments to the ultimate draft cheat sheet for this, that won't be one that I'll make. We were getting a fair amount of Marv before. Let me just ask you this: as far as the cheat sheet goes, do you like? I hate to even ask. Do you like it? How do you compare Marvin Harrison Jr. to Mike Evans, DJ Moore?
Well, I think DJ Moore and Mike, and while Marvin Harrison are similar in that, I think we might get some inconsistency early. Now, that's what we're used to with Harrison. Moore, they have a great schedule ahead. The thing is, we don't really know how that receiving group's going to shake out yet. So I think Marvin Harrison, just by, you know, target share, I think maybe
it feels weird saying he's safer.
I mean, well, you got Luther Burden there. You got Roma Dunze. Like, I want to say DJ Moore's the number one. I mean, but, I mean, we don't know how that's all going to shake out.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know either. I don't know. It's like on one hand, you could really be hating life if you're like, dude, why did I fade DJ Moore when he's going into Ben Johnson's offense? What is wrong with me? You know what I mean? But it could be like, why did I take DJ Moore when they have Rome and they just, you know, just they drafted Luther Burden of all people. They got Colston Loveland, who's just a G. It's like there's a lot of cooks in the kitchen there. It's hard to figure out. I think that this is a good place to be having the conversation, though. It's like,
I think that Marvin Harrison, Marvin Harrison is his own worst enemy here. I mean, like, as far as his inconsistency goes, if he can put things together, like they're saying he has been, then he should be more consistent than DJ Moore based on these schedules. But that's yet to be seen. I think DJ Moore, I think, offers more upside potentially, but as far as consistency on a week to week basis, I don't know that we have that there yet. We're going to need to see.
I have one other thing that's really weighing on my mind here, but let's hear about some of your other observations before I ask this.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths and sometimes heights to ensure the power is always flowing, which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Well, one of the things I was going to talk about was JSN's schedule.
Okay. So we mentioned it, third best.
Third best overall.
And really only, like, as far as the distribution of targets, it's like – their third wide receiver is going to be MVS. It feels like he's just there to be able to stretch the field and, you know, take the top off of coverage and things like that. It's going to be Cooper Kupp and it's going to be JSN. And this is a team that's going to want to run the football more. So they bring in Clint Kubiak. He wants to run the stretch play. He wants to run outside zone. It's going to be a lot of Kenneth Walker, and it's going to be a lot of, you know, if we can, it's like the we're going to see whether or not Kevin O'Connell was just like the ultimate quarterback whisperer, and whether the quarterback play there last year was just smoke and mirrors, because that would be disastrous for the Seahawks if it turns out that, Darnold turns back into the pumpkin that he was before he got the magic touch of a Kevin O'Connell.
Yeah. One other thing I noticed too is just like, I feel like the Giants outside of Malik Nabers, I mean, I'm kind of hands off based on the scheduling. I mean, Malik Nabers, and we're going to see if he truly is the player that we think he is this season, if he truly is unguardable, just because it's not a pretty picture for the Giants after week five. I guess they end out the season with the Vikings and the Raiders. You know, those are softer matchups, but really between
it's bad.
5 and 16, it's just like it's a sea of red pretty much.
They have four positive matchups all year, Trash Man.
Yeah. So this, if you're thinking of, you know, getting value out of anybody other than Malik Nabers, you might be sorely mistaken. Based on the schedule.
Yeah. It's like, as I'm doing this, sometimes people ask me, it's like, why are they ranked so high? I'm like, I don't know. I just go through and put the stuff into the tool. You know, and it spits it out, and I'm still in the spot where I'm just kind of looking at it and sort of taking it in. But you're right, dude. The Giants, it's bad. I mean, the Raiders, the Giants, it stinks. But you know, Cincinnati's got a bad schedule, but it doesn't matter for them.
Right.
It's like Jacksonville looks really bad. One team that looks really good though, Trash Man, especially down the stretch and coming into the fantasy playoffs, but with some nice little pockets throughout the season too, is the New York Jets, which when you think about the New York Jets wide receivers, it starts and ends with Garrett Wilson, right? It just does. My question is this, it involves his ADP. And if we're looking at the season long props that they have available to us over on DraftKings, Underdog and Prize Picks, and you just look at where Garrett Wilson is sitting there, if you take the average of DraftKings, Underdog, and Prize Picks, so DraftKings has him as over-under sitting at 925.5 receiving yards. Underdog has it sitting at 949.5, and Prize Picks has it at 924.5. So that's an average of 933.2. Also on Prize Picks, we have a 4.5 receiving touchdowns. It's his over-under, right? So now, obviously, those are a little bit conservative because what the sports books do and what these pick'em sites do, they have to bake in some level of discount on these projections to make for the chance of injury and stuff, right? So it's going to be more conservative than the projections that we'll run for season long, right? These are almost always lower, and that's why you can't always look at projections and say, okay, just because this guy projects 120 yards more, it's a lock to go over, right? Because you have to bake in the fact of missing, you know, 1.5, 2 games. With that being said, Garrett Wilson, if he were to go for 933.2 yards, if we use his historical average for yards per catch, which I'm not sure that we really should, because Justin Fields at quarterback is a whole different animal. But if you were just to use that, that would be 85 receptions for him. He's going off right now as wide receiver 13, and just say in half point PPR, that's 9.58 fantasy points per game. That is actually good as far as if we're basing it only on these really efficient props markets and the implied reception totals from these props markets, and we then take that and we put it into fantasy points. that would 9.58 fantasy points per game would be among these players in the top 70, wide receiver 21. So basically the Vegas sports books think you're overpaying for this guy by like eight spots. They think you should be taking him more in that area that we were just talking about, around DJ Moore, Xavier Worthy, Mike Evans, Tet McMillan, those types of players, as far as just their production based on what the sports books are giving us the over-unders for. You combine it with the fact that he's got a really good schedule and he's got the connection with Justin Fields, all that stuff. And I should say about Justin Fields too, is that speaking of just the sports books, it's really eyebrow raising to see, you know, you just look through these numbers and you see like, okay, Joe Burrow over under 4,174 yards, Jared Goff over under 3,874. Josh Allen over under 3749, Matt Stafford over under 3749, you know, Trevor Lawrence 3654, et cetera, right? Geno Smith 3649, CJ Stroud 3749, Justin Fields 2575. They're not expecting much out of this team. And then whenever we look at the stuff with the environmental and the environmental stuff as far as dome games, et cetera, only one dome game next year. They have to play Denver in an international game. They're the third worst game environment in the projections, which doesn't even go into the strength of schedule deal. It's just something that you can look at. In addition to it, they're also fourth worst as far as overall team implied team total over the course of the 17 fantasy games of the season. Implied team total average on the season, 19.61 per game. So a lot going against Garrett Wilson, but I love the player. I mean,
he's going to get a bucket load of targets on a weekly basis. I'm not worried about him at all.
You're not worried about him at all? Even with everything that I just said, not one single worry out of you.
For Garrett Wilson in that offense, the number one receiver in that offense, no. I think I'd be more worried about some of the other peripheral receivers. But I mean, if we're talking about Garrett Wilson being a talent, I mean, if Garrett Wilson is not a Malik Nabers, but I don't know that he's that far off. I mean, like, he was a player coming into the league who, you know, a lot of people were saying was a generational kind of talent. A lot of people were saying, like, if this guy actually got more action than, you know, Chris Olave, you know, how good could he be really? So I think with the wealth of targets he's going to get in that offense, and, you know, it's not overall a tough schedule. I think he's going to be fine.
Garrett Wilson at the 2-3 turn for you?
I take Garrett Wilson as my second receiver.
Garrett Wilson at the 2-3 turn or Marvin Harrison at the 3-4 turn?
I'd probably gamble on Harrison if I could get another marquee player than that, you know, in between.
What could possibly go wrong? Garrett Wilson and Marvin Harrison. My God.